loving and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise and honor and glory. We thank you for this day that you've made. Lord, we thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. And Holy God, as we come before you, our hearts are just full with joy to know that you're in our midst. Yet, Lord God, our hearts are heavy. Our hearts are heavy for that young policeman who was gunned down and the other one who's fighting for his life. So much gun violence in our nation, Lord God, and our city. God, we're fighting from all sides. But because we know that you're with us, we continue to hold on to your unchanging hands. Lord God, have mercy as we pray for that family today who grieved the loss of a 22-year-old officer, Lord God, and his young wife. Have mercy upon us, Lord God. Have mercy upon those who have to lead this city and the nation, Lord God, that there'll be peace. God, have mercy. And so as we've gathered here, speak a word for us, Lord. Speak a word today, God Almighty, because we need to hear from you. Lord, we need a word of hope, a word of peace, God, for we know that you love us. But speak now, Lord God, so that we can leave this place and go out into the world and be that light. Let the light of Christ shine through us. And take hold of me, the preacher, Lord, and put me under submission to your will. And Lord God, let me speak your words, Lord Jesus. And let it be interpreted to those who are listening the way you want them to hear, Lord God. Holy Spirit, take charge. In Christ's name, amen. My sermon title today is The Power of God's Word. And today I will be talking about plugging to the true power source. The true power source. Amen? That there is, we could have God's word and we're not plugged in or we haven't tapped in. Amen? Tim Keller had a reflection, The Power of God's Speech. And he writes, in chapter 4 of his book, Prayer, Tim Keller writes, speech act theory makes a convincing case that our words not only convey information, they get things done. However, God's words have power infinitely beyond our own. God's words are identical with his actions. We humans say, let there be light in this room. But first, we have to make sure that the room has been properly wired. And then we have to walk across the room and flick a switch or go to the cabinet and grab some matches so we can light a candle. Our words need deeds to back them up and can fail to achieve their purposes. God's words, however, cannot fail their purposes because for God, speaking and acting are the same thing. So when God says, let there be light, there is light. God does not have to get up and do an action for there to be light. The power of God's word. The Bible is defined as the sacred scriptures of Christians, comprising the Old Testament and the New Testament. The inspired word of God. Christians and Jews have been called people of the book throughout history. But both Judaism and Christianity are based on the Bible. A key doctrine of Christianity is the inerrancy of Scripture, meaning the Bible in its original handwritten state is without error. No error at all. The Bible itself claims to be the inspired word of God, or God breathed. We see that in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 2 Peter 1:11. It unfolds as a divine love story between the Creator God and the object of his love, humankind. In the pages of the Bible, we learn of God's interaction with humans. We discover his purposes and plans from the beginning of time and throughout history, the Bible. I think it's important at the beginning of every year to preach a sermon on the importance of God's word in our lives, both personally and cooperatively. We can forget as individuals, and we can forget as a church, the main things. And the main thing is to feed on God's word so we are strengthened in Christ and in his love for us. Amen? And now, so when we look at Nehemiah chapter 8, we see that the children of Israel had gone through a terrible period. They had been in exile for 70 years. Many did not return, but those who returned had to rebuild the temple. We see that in the book of Ezra. And then they had to rebuild the Jerusalem city wall. We see that in Nehemiah. But they needed spiritual renewal. After they had built the temple and built the Jerusalem wall that had been destroyed, many of them had come back. They were broken. They had been separated from worshiping Yahweh at the temple. They had been in pain. They couldn't gather because they had been in exile. And it might have been the Babylonian exile or the Assyrian exile, but they had been in exile 70 years, and I think that's the Babylonian. And Nehemiah 8 shows us the three marks of spiritual renewal related to God. Right? They needed spiritual renewal. Number one, for spiritual renewal, God's people must read God's word. For spiritual renewal, we have to read God's word. And so the people gathered and asked Ezra to bring the book, the scroll of the law of Moses, which the law had given to Israel. We saw that in 8:1. They read it, they read from it publicly from dawn until noon. They read it. Number two, for spiritual renewal, God's people must reverently hear his word expounded. We must hear his word read, expounded. Having ears that work does not guarantee that we really hear. Although God made us with two ears that we cannot close and one mouth that we can, which ought to teach us something, we sometimes close off our minds so that we do not really hear what is being said, even though we did hear the sounds of the words. So we are supposed to read the Bible and hear the Bible read. Today I heard the priest, I always watch a Catholic service when I'm getting ready, and the priest says, the Catholic Church has been criticized, and he says, and I agree with it, that they do not read the Bible, the average, you know, the members, as often as they should in their services, read it out for a period of time, like other denominations. But then he did say they celebrate the Word of God, which they do, right? But it's important for us to read the Word of God. And number three, for spiritual renewal, God's Word must be taught. Friends, God's Word must be taught, right? Verses 7 and 8 report that these men who stood on the platform with Ezra explained the law to the people. They were translating it to give to give the sense so that they understood the reading. Now, friends, do you see in this church and in many churches that not the new churches that they're making now, but the churches like this church and many, that this portion of the altar is raised? In the old churches in England, some of the old churches, when you go, John Wesley's chapel and so on, and a lot of the older church, this part where the word was read, wherever the word was read, it was raised, right? Raised above the congregation. It was raised above the congregation, so what? So that the people can hear the word, amen? Raised above the congregation so that it could be read to them, because it was important. And so the Bible tells us now that Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God of heaven. So we read in the scriptures that Ezra did what? Ezra picked up the word, they call it the law, the word of God, and he picked it up and he held it up in the congregation, picked it up, and he held it up among the people because he was high up, right? And he's reading now Old Testament, right? He picked it up and he read the word of God. It says here, then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen and amen. Amen. That's another tradition we have from the Bible. He read the word, and then the people said, amen and amen. And lifting up their hands, the people lift up their hands and they said, amen and amen. And then they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground, only because what? The word of God had read to a people that was in pain. They had been in pain. They had gone through terrible times. And when they heard the word of God read, they cried out. The Bible tells us that when the scriptures were read, the people began to weep. Have you ever heard the word of God read? Or have you ever read the word of God and just begin to weep? Anybody here has ever done that? That the word of God becomes this thing that gives you the hope. Amen. I've done it many times. Just not anybody else speaking to me, not anyone else saying anything, but I've just read something in the Bible when I'm going through something difficult. I don't know what the answer is going to be. I don't know what's going to turn out, but just hearing the word of God makes me weep. Because what? I believe that what God says is so. What God says is going to happen. And I've heard it read and just wept and wept, and nobody called me up and told me what God is going to do. His word told me. His word gave me comfort. His word built my strength. His word gave me hope. Amen? Amen. And you come to church at times and you hear the word read, right? And it touches your heart and you know that the Lord is with you. And now for the first slide, right? The word of God as power. The word of God, the power of God's word, right, is important. So the word of God has power, and it has power to transform us. The word of God has power to change us. Do you know that, friends? I'm giving you 4 points on what the word of God can do when you read it and when you hear it read. Amen? The word of God has power to transform us, to change us. Scripture tells us in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So that it's telling us that we don't have to follow what the world is doing, but we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. How do we renew our minds? Through the word of God. Amen? We renew our minds through the word of God. The next point is the word of God as the power to direct us. It has power to direct us when we fall short. Scripture tells us in Psalm 37, 23 to 24, our steps are made firm by the Lord. When he delights in our way, though we stumble, we shall not fall headlong, for the Lord holds us by the hand. The Lord will hold us when we slip away. We don't show up to church. We don't hear the word read. We don't read the word. The Lord will still hold us and direct our steps. There's a song that says, order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me, guide me every day. Send your anointing, Father, I pray. Order my steps in your word. Please, Lord, order my steps in your word. Amen? Ordering our steps in God's word, right? Asking the Lord, please order my steps. We are supposed to be in God's word. You know, it's not good enough just to come to church and hear the word. You must read it at home, in your private time. Read God's word. The word of God, point three, the word of God has the power to sustain us. The power to sustain. There's somebody needs to be sustained today. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 40:30-31, even youth will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. I tell you, when we wait for the Lord, they shall mount up with wings like eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word of the Lord will sustain you. This is one of my favorite scriptures. When you think about it, when you're weary, it reminds you even the youth will faint. Even the youths will get in trouble. Even the youth will get weary. But those who wait upon the Lord, those who hope in the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Thank you, Lord. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. That means he'll take you above your trouble. They shall run and not get weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The word of the Lord will sustain you no matter what you're going through. If you wait upon the Lord, amen? That is the power of the word of God this morning. And then the fourth word is the word of the Lord. I didn't put number four there, but it's number four. The word of God has the power now to maintain us. It has the power to sustain us, and then it will maintain you. And the scripture tells us, this is from, I believe I did not put the psalm up, but from Psalm 121. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time and forevermore. The Lord will maintain you. For the Lord is your keeper. He will sustain us and he will keep us. Amen? And so therefore, friends, as the last slide here says, we have to tap into the power of God. As you could see on the slide, we have to tap into it. We have to what? Plug into the power. And the power, friends, is right here. The power is here in the word. You see, of course, the fact that there is power, realizing what that power can do for me and knowing where the power is found is not enough. Knowing that the power is here and knowing what it can do for me and you is not enough. I have many electrical outlets in my home that provide power, but they are useless unless I what? Plug them in or tap into them. Amen? Unless I plug in or tap in. Are you getting it, friends? They're useless. In the same way, God's word, unless we tap into the power or plug into it, in the proper way, all of that tremendous power will do us no good and produce nothing in our lives. Friends, I'm beseeching you this morning, those of you online and those of you in here, unless you tap into this, it will do nothing for you. There is the connection between knowledge and power. If we know the word, we will then experience its power. Amen? And when we experience its power, we are experiencing God's power. We have to know God's word. Tapping into the power of God's word, therefore, requires three things that everyone can do. And I've said them already. We need to read the word, respond to the word in obedience, and then we need to spread the word. Amen? Jesus knew the word, and even though they rejected him at Nazareth, when he stood up in that temple at the beginning of his ministry, what did he do? He took the scroll. He took the scroll and he opened it. He took the word and he opened it right there in their midst. Even though they did not like it, they rejected him. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." The Bible says he took the scroll and he unscrolled it so they could see, because the word of God was written on a scroll. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release of the captives and to recover sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free." When we are spiritually oppressed, to let us go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant, and then he sat down. And he said, then he began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus was and is the fulfillment of the scripture. He is the fulfillment. John tells us, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus is the word of the Lord. He is the fulfillment of the scripture. Amen? And we must tap into it. And they were upset with him. Like, folks will be upset now because I'm telling them to what? Read God's word. But I could only tell you what I know works. God's word. That's where it is. It's here. And so as I close, there's a song that we sing that says the word, it comes from the scriptures, Psalm 119. And it's a song. It's in our hymnal. And the chorus says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me, and nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side, and I will love you to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." Amen? Thanks be to God for his word. Right? For his word cuts to bone and not marrow. It cuts to bone and marrow, and it will tell you the truth about yourself. God's word. And so we need God's word. We need it, and we need to read it. And we need to go to Bible study, and we need to believe in it so that our faith in God does not get attacked by the enemy. And so that this religion, this faith that we believe in, this Jesus, does not become wishy-washy. And I tell you, many of us are at fault. For when our children do not know the word because we have not read it in our homes. Friends, we have not read it in our homes. So our children, we can't blame them. They grew up and they can't find a scripture. They know nothing about it because nobody read it to them. Nobody brought them to church after they're confirmed, and nobody reads it at home. People's Bible in their houses are collecting dust. But for those believers, parents who are here and online, who have read the scriptures to your children at home, who have had to let them hear it read at home, and they understand it, you have done your work, because you have planted that seed, and God's word will live and grow in them forever and forever. Amen and amen.